talk about boundaries. So as always, the first place that I start is that in an exploration of any topic is that all meaning is context dependent. We all live in a world at a time when boundaries are collapsing all around the world on every front. So there are all kinds of things that the rules have changed and we're oblivious. So there are no rules that you and I can just rely upon. And when all of that starts to happen in many different places at once to everybody at the same time, that creates a profound absence of stability. And people get nuts when they have no sense of stability, when they do not know how to define what's real and what isn't. People do really weird things. So all of a sudden, boundaries, touchstones of reality, all of a sudden, those boundaries are becoming fluid. And things are starting to move like waves in the ocean. And we don't know how to make sense of that, let alone what to do about that. We have conscious, meaning intentionally chosen, and unconscious boundaries like family systems. Growing up in our family systems establishes unconscious boundaries. Boundaries that until you step into these conversations, you don't even know you have. And oftentimes the boundary that comes through the family system is actually in conflict with what you perceive for yourself as a preferred model of the world. So now you have to be in compliance with BVAs that hold no meaning for you, but you're caught in them if you want to continue to be a part of the network of those family systems, because they still support those boundaries. So how often do we ever stop and wonder, gee, I wonder how many of my boundaries are intentional? And how many of my boundaries are just habit? You know, how many of my boundaries am I mindfully in alignment with, and how many of them create turmoil inside myself? Because I don't want to be offensive to my parents or my siblings or my spouse or my friends or my whatever, but I don't want to live like this. What do you do with that? We have individual boundaries. You know, personal preferences, personal limits. And then we have collective boundaries, and these collective boundaries are enforced through dogma. They begin at the level of the family system, but if you look at nested living systems, it spills out into the community and into institutions and, you know, globally. And these are constantly presenting. And do you have the resourcefulness to be able to make distinctions with those things and then to intentionally choose? Because otherwise, this is where people have to split themselves. When they're with this group of people, they're like this. When they're with this group of people, they're like that. God forbid those groups of people come together, like weddings, for example, family weddings where everybody shows up at the same time and you're living a double life. So there are these things that we don't really consider much. So today, in this conversation around boundaries, the frameworks that I've been using for considering boundaries include logical levels of thinking, the idea of history and habit versus present, mindful, and intentional, the idea of a boundary as a vehicle of self-expression. So it's not a thing out there. It's a reflection of an internal state that you have value on that state. And the idea of using a framework that recognizes boundaries create edges. Our boundaries are what make us edgy to other people. People who have no boundaries aren't edgy. People who are without boundaries tend to be pushovers. They tend to be wishy-washy. They tend to live a life of saying yes to all kinds of things they really want to say no to. That's a byproduct of the absence of any boundaries. So I started by thinking, well, so if that's all the context and those are the frameworks, what is a boundary? Because boundary, the word boundary is a nominalization. You cannot put a pound of boundary in the trunk of your car. So at the very least, a boundary is an articulated and defined personal choice that is non-negotiable. Think about that. It is an articulated, which means it's evident to others, it can be accessed by others, and it's defined. It has parameters. You've thought about it long enough to be able to say, this boundary is relevant here and it's not necessary here. And it's non-negotiable. People can't talk you out of your boundary. And you go, okay, well, you know, maybe I don't really need a boundary, because we do that. When you're children and you have boundaries, the way that you're quote unquote talked out of it is often physical assault. You do what I tell you. Don't you talk to me like that, young lady. And there are consequences that make it very clear to you that you are not a candidate who is encouraged to have a boundary. Adults set the boundaries. Children don't have any. Hence the degree of abuse that exists within our family systems, physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, blah, 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 blah. Why? Because kids have no boundaries. They have no power to set a boundary. And nobody honors them. So it left me wondering, you know, what is the purpose of a boundary? You know, the way that the human eye sees is it calibrates for edges. So the way that the human eye distinguishes you from a television set is it looks for your edges and the edges of the television set. But if the television set had no edges and you had no edges, it would just be one gigantic amorphous blob. And people who have no boundaries live their lives like that. They go with wherever the current takes them. Whichever way the wind blows, that's the direction they go in. They change their minds on a dime when a more forceful influence enters their lives. But they're very easily coerced, because they don't know. They don't have an edge. They don't know where their edges are. They have no idea that they have permission to have an edge. And how fluid or transactional can a boundary be? So you can look at that through logical levels. You know, it's like looking at the environment level, an expression of a boundary potentially could be a fence on your property. And how fluid or transactional is that boundary? If somebody crosses over that fence, what do you do about it? Ignore it? Or do you have a conversation with the person and, you know, negotiate why they thought it was useful and intelligent for them to leap your fence and, you know, roam around on your property? Or do you just watch them out the kitchen window and shoot them? Those are, depending on where you live, those are all reasonable responses to somebody jumping your fence. So how fluid and transactional are your boundaries? In other words, how powerful is your no when you say no to something? How fluid is your no? So this idea that our boundaries are fluid and transactional, I think, is important for us to pay attention. You know, how negotiable is your boundary? And what would be the propellant for you to create a shift in your boundary? Would it be an external force that presses you to and compels you to comply with something? Or would it be an internal shift, a new piece of information, a new insight, you know, a realization of something, a change of habit? Is it an internally driven shift, or is it an externally imposed shift? Because both of them have impact. The question is, which one of those motivates you? Are you internally referenced or externally referenced? A boundary at whatever logical level, at whatever form of expression, is intended to sustain an expression of your authentic self, of that which is meaningful and relevant for you, of that which you hold as valuable to you. That's what boundaries are for. They're an edge that says to here and no further. And those boundaries can be structured, and this is part of their transactional nature. A boundary can be structured so your line in the sand is here, but you have markers that start out there, and they indicate that you're approaching a definite edge so that people aren't surprised by your boundary, but they know that, you know, that's a non-negotiable with her. So that you know that if you're engaging with someone who's now up in your face, that's an intentional act. That's not an accident. And then part of living with boundaries is coming to understand ourselves relative to conflict. How resourceful are we in the face of conflict? How resilient are we in holding to a boundary when somebody else insists we not have it? So boundaries exist at all levels of thinking. So at the environment level, I've said this before, think of a fence. You put up a physical fence on a physical piece of property. This level of boundary offers a physical distinction that can be calibrated for above the waterline. You know the iceberg in the south? You can calibrate for a fence above the waterline, right? You can do environment behavior above the waterline. So a behavior like saying no, this level of boundary offers a physical distinction that can be calibrated for through observing others, and it's not foolproof. Why? Because people lie. So you have to have another way of calibrating for how authentic is a no. But somebody might say no, but how authentic is the no that they're saying? Are they saying no to shut you up? Or is there no legitimate? It is a reflection of their internal states, of their boundaries as well. Capability strategy. A boundary might be that you are unwilling to lie to get what you want. Lots of people lie to get what they want. Lots of people manipulate. They have no boundaries around truth. You might have a boundary that says you're not willing to do that, to get what you want, to lie and to manipulate other people. And then from this level up, it becomes more difficult to externally calibrate effectively for a boundary, because everything there is all below the waterline. So an example of a boundary at the level of BVAs would be around the boundaries that you have around what a quote unquote good girl is. How should women behave? What are your family rules about what constitutes appropriate behavior for a young adult woman, an adolescent or a young adult woman? And that goes into BVAs about what you should or should not enjoy, what you should or should not welcome into your life. And it's got nothing to do with who you are. It has to do with the framework for existence that is part of the intergenerational habituation. But what you're not noticing is that it's installing a boundary for you. And it's a boundary that is non-considered by you. It's simply been, was adopted a long time ago. And you don't even notice. You just know sometimes this conflict for you, but you don't even know what the source of the conflict is. This level of boundary is a much greater challenge, and boundaries can become far more fluid and unpredictable at that level. You might have one boundary when you're sober and a very different one when you're drunk. You might have, one boundary in Toronto and a very different one in the Dominican Republic. You have one boundary when you're at work, a very different one when you're on holiday. And if people cross your path when you're on holiday, they don't recognize you. And at the choice point, and I find this an interesting conversation, at the choice point, boundaries are expressed and no longer considered. They descend from identity to shape a physical reality. So above the choice point, you shape an identity. And as that identity descends through the spiral, it comes with requisite boundaries. But those boundaries aren't chosen at the choice point level. They're chosen above the choice point and form part of an identity. And they're expressed at the choice point. But they're not selected at the choice point. Those are very different kinds of boundaries. Those are boundaries that are an expression and a reflection of authentic self. And typically, those boundaries are non-negotiable. Because they're an expression of identity. They're not BVAs down, which means they've not been externally imposed. They've been internally selected. Very rarely do we grow up having any sense at all of how to select a boundary. We don't know how to do it. So above the choice point, there are no boundaries. They're only the ones that are part of the unfolding of identity. So, in other words, in order for that identity to take form in matter, it must have these edges. It to take this shape and have those edges, there are boundaries around that ultimately will get reflected through beliefs, values, and attitudes, and then it all gets expressed down from there. So boundaries can be evident and discernible, like lower levels, fences on your property. And they all can also can be hidden and unexpressed, typically BVAs that are unclaimed or masked. You might have a BVA that is a boundary for you that you don't ever speak of. Because in the places that you inhabit, speaking of them could prove problematic for you. So you may not even know you have that boundary. You just know that there's a certain set of parameters, i.e., boundaries in your life that you live by, and you know it's imperative for you to do that, but you may not know why. A boundary can be established to define the edge of self. And it can also be established to entrap and destabilize another. You can have a boundary that is an authentic expression of you, and you can also create a boundary as a pretense to draw someone else to you. Part of the manipulation thing. So that someone else will experience you as a certain way or think you're a certain way, but the truth of it, that's not how you are at all. But you get to manipulate your environment that way. So boundaries create an edge. So the way that we are perceived, the way the eye sees, is it sees the edges of us, doesn't flesh out all the interior, just sees the edges. So a boundary creates an edge. No edges, no definition. No definition, no distinction. Your boundaries make you stand out in a crowd. When you create an intentional boundary for yourself and you make it discernible, you stand out because it means you stand for something. And in today's world, a lot of people don't stand for a lot. Without boundaries, you're this amorphous blob demanding no effort to or significance of definition and distinction. You're very easily overlooked. People who don't have any boundaries kind of blend into the wallpaper. And is that not the point? I mean, how many times in your life have you intentionally chosen to fade into the wallpaper? So that you would not speak anything contrary to the status quo, because that would set a boundary. That would say, I don't believe that. So boundaries can exist along a continuum rather than have polarized boundaries. So it's not a dichotomy. It's not that you have this really, really hard boundary or you have no boundary over here. It exists along a continuum, and your boundary can reflect the range of your own movement along extremes. So for example, with engaging, when you do the value solicitation, all those values line up along a continuum between safe, dangerous. So it isn't that you do or don't have a boundary, it's that you have the capacity to create a boundary that reflects where you position yourself along a continuum. So that means that everything is not completely safe and everything is not completely dangerous. You recognize that context determines safe and dangerous. And you set boundaries in a way that honors the reality of that for you. So the context for a boundary, you know, potential resistance. So with when I set a boundary, for example, that sets an expectation. Well, the expected is not always respected. You know, if you'll notice in the world that you live in and the people you spend time with, that you set an expectation doesn't mean that expectation is going to be respected, even by the people who love you. So a boundary is a backup plan to presenting insistence around what you want. If you don't have any sense of boundaries, and you don't have permission from other people to want what you want without some sense of an edge in there, then what you want becomes irrelevant in the collective. You can have it as long as it doesn't irritate anybody. So this backup plan of a boundary causes a pause to occur, and it gives you time to consider in this exchange with others, where is your edge? Because if you don't have a boundary for yourself around it, remember, a boundary is a normalization. If you don't create some kind of a recognition of differentiation, then you'll get bulldozed. Challenges to a boundary. A boundary that irritates others does not mean that you should remove it. Right? That you have a boundary and other people are annoyed by that that's not an indication there's something wrong with your boundary. You know, relative to the opinions and the needs and the wants of others, people want what they want. And if they think they can talk you into giving it to them, they'll push for that. So if you have a boundary that says, I'm not doing that, I'm not going to be the one that gives you that, you can still hold to that boundary. And depending on your relationship with whoever wants it, you can say to them, but I can have a conversation with you about other ways for you to have that. You just can't have it from me. You know, it's like having a conversation when my friend moved in across the courtyard here, and she has a lot of medical issues, and she said to me, oh, it'll be great living near you because if I have any problems, I'll just call you. And I said, well, stop right there. Not doing that. I said, I've spent my life taking care of my parents for 30 years. I don't do that anymore. However, I'm happy to have a conversation with you about how else you can get your needs met. What are your alternatives? Who else can you call? What are the services that are available in the area? You know, depending on what your need is, who do you talk to? But don't count on me. Not only don't count on me, don't even bother testing the waters because the answer is no. So she did test the waters, and the answer was no. So it's not an issue anymore. But you have to be willing to have other people be unhappy with your boundaries. That other people are unhappy with your boundaries says more about them than it says about you. You have to make the decision for yourself. How important is it to you to not irritate people, because boundaries irritate people. So, because someone takes issue with your boundary, it doesn't mean that your boundary is wrong or inappropriate. Your boundary is an expression of your internal cues that define your edges. That's all about you. Do you need permission from somebody else to be yourself? If you do, then when someone bumps up against your boundary, it could create agitation in you because you don't know what to do. You want the boundary, but you don't want these people mad at you, or you don't want them upset with you, or you don't want a disappointment or be their disappointment. You know what I mean? Boundaries will offer others a way to perceive you. So, by virtue of those boundaries, they'll look at you and they'll have judgments about you and they'll have interpretations of you. So, you have to decide in a world of distinctions through edges, how do you take ownership of an intentional outcome for yourself without them? How do you define for the world that you move through how far you'll go and no further, and how close they can come to you and no further? What belongs to you and what can they take? What will you share with them? And what will you absolutely hold to yourself? And anybody who bumps up against your boundaries are always going to have a big story to tell you about why you should not have that boundary with them. And they will tug on your relationship, your role in the family system, the length of your relationship, how you have so much more and they have so little, how you're so much more capable than they are. The bullshit is endless. And you have to decide, what do you want to live with? Can you live with people having opinions about you? You know, thinking poorly about you, calling you names, talking about you behind your back. Can you live with that in order to sustain a boundary that is meaningful and relevant to the quality of your life? So a boundary is a discernible limit of your relationship with varying aspects of your reality. So think about that. A boundary is a discernible limit of your relationship with varying aspects of your reality. So generally, your greatest challenge to a boundary will come from another person in your reality. And it could also come from collective circumstances like the law, for example. The light turned red, you didn't stop. That's a boundary. The law may have opinions about that. But today it's hard to tell because it matters. That's a boundary that affects some people and not others because nobody knows anymore, right? So here comes the really good part. And this is what boundaries are really wonderful for. A boundary is a provocation for unexpressed conflict to emerge and be identified. So if you want to get the conflict out of the weeds, set a boundary. It's a tool. A boundary is a tool and sometimes a weapon. It's definitely a resource that allows a conflict to be acknowledged and engaged instead of this smoldering resentment that goes on, especially in family systems. So a boundary is the edge of a choice. So it's evidence of that edge interacting with the forces of resistance in your day-to-day living. People do not like people with firm boundaries because you're not malleable. You cannot be easily coerced. You can't get talked into things. You know, you can't get dragged into things because you say no. And when you say no, you mean no. You don't mean, talk me into it. You don't mean, show me where I'm wrong to say no. You mean no. And you can start out nicely and say, no, thank you. You can say, not today. You can say, maybe another time. You get, and then eventually you say, no. And it becomes really evident that you're not kidding. But a lot of people don't like that because they've just lost you as a resource for their yes. When you're dealing with people who have clear, intentional, and considered boundaries, it's very, very difficult to manipulate them because they're not focused on your reality or an external reality. They're focused on the one they want to create for themselves. Focus on what you want to create. So as we move into these, potentially these bigger conversations about, you know, what the hell is going on in the world? You have to focus on what you want to create because there's so much intentional directed effort to pull you out of yourself because there's no power. The minute you're pulled out of yourself, you're a victim to whatever comes your way. So, what is the boundary that is required for you to create to facilitate that? To facilitate you being able to focus on what you want to create in your reality and not get distracted by all the ooh, shiny stuff that's going on in the world, because lots. And then ultimately, what it comes down to is how comfortable and effective are you with disagreement, with dissension, with conflict. One person's boundary could easily be another person's irritant. You know, what's it like for you when people are annoyed that you won't do what they want you to do? How resilient are you when they persist? Maybe they threatened, I'm going to tell somebody about you. I'm going to tell, as kids, I'm going to tell mom. Or as you're older, I'm going to tell the boss. Or potentially in different situations, I'm going to tell your husband. So you have to consider what is the price paid for collapsing a boundary, in other words, capitulating. So what's the price that you pay for collapsing that boundary? What happens to your sense of self? What happens when you allow yourself to be bullied? Because it is a bullying that goes on. When you have boundaries and somebody's not happy with those boundaries and they seek to collapse that boundary against your will, that's bullying. And worse. So a boundary is an expression of authentic self. Is the approval or the agreement of others required for that? Because if you need approval to be able to have the boundary, then you're literally looking for someone else to give you approval to be yourself. How resilient are you to be able to be yourself and tell your truth? Just say what's there. Don't negotiate it and don't pre-consider it and we'll go run through that thing where what is so-and-so going to think and how are they going to react and blah, blah, yada, yada. How good are you at standing alone? How comfortable are you with being a source of irritation for others, the blessed irritant? How comfy are you with that? And in my experience with boundaries, your authentic presence is your most powerful line in the sand. All you have to do is be yourself and tell the truth. That is a high order expression of a boundary. And there's nothing for you to defend, there's nothing for you to explain, there's nothing for you to negotiate. Just be yourself and tell the truth. And yet, how hard is that? So, just telling the truth creates an edge. I mean, how many people in our family systems can tolerate truth other than the party line truth? Other than the truth of the story we've been telling for, how long? So boundaries at lower levels of thinking are much easier to calibrate for and to notice and potentially to negotiate than boundaries at higher orders of thinking, like BVAs. And oftentimes the boundaries that are set at the level of BVAs are outside of our conscious awareness and they're carryovers from that age 0 to 7. We don't even notice. We just think it's reality. We just think that is how we have to live because that's what life requires. And then at some point in time, you discover it was somebody's opinion, and likely the opinion of someone who was significantly fractured emotionally, now shaping your reality for you. Wow, that sucks. Powerful boundaries make for powerful living. In order to set really meaningful and relevant boundaries, you have to know yourself. And when you know yourself, you produce a very different quality of life. So, a powerful boundary is a reflection of the interactivity that you're engaging with the inside of you and the outside of you. So, you're taking the internal truth of your reality and you're setting in motion what is required in order for that to be able to shape your external reality. So, kind of to sum up, boundaries are easy to set and sustain when they're not challenged. Right? And then when it comes to that boundary, you change your mind and you change a boundary accordingly, but you're not coerced into anything. So it's not the boundary that's the issue. It's how you engage with the conflict within yourself and as evidenced through the behaviors of others that emerges with the boundary as the trigger for that conflict. To be sure the conflict was already there, the boundary brought it to the surface to become discernible so you can put words to it. So a boundary is not a thing. A boundary is a process. And it's a process that you can use intentionally to provoke outcomes. Sustaining a boundary in conflict, which is what we were here to talk about, is not about the boundary. It's about the underlying and often avoided conflict. The boundary is the provocation for its emergence to be addressed. And changing a boundary to gratify and avoid conflict will not resolve the conflict, because it'll just surface somewhere else. So boundaries as a process keep us mindful and intentional about the world we want to create. When we structure a boundary, a belief, a value, those are boundaries and higher orders of thought than a fence on your property. They become processes that allow you to explore what has been held as the unexplorable. It's just been presented as an absolute, as a fixed reality. So when we're faced with these boundary challenges, how do we respond? So if your boundaries make you stand out, the question becomes, do you have the right to be different? As children, we know we don't. As children, we're provided with a framework, and our job is to rise to the occasion of being measurable by that standard. We become, when there's a challenge to a boundary, we start to pay attention to what our tolerance level is for disapproval by others, being judged by others, having others have opinions about us, particularly those that we consider to be authorities or in positions of power because they can hurt us. You know, as children, they can smack us across the back of the head. In our work environments, they can fire us. They can set us up to be fired. They can demote you. They can badmouth you and create a bad reputation for you. You know, the usual stuff. So boundaries challenge the expectations of others of you. So where are your soft spots? Who are the people in your life or the situations or the constructs to which you are most vulnerable when it comes to having and holding a boundary? Is it partners, mates, spouses, your parents, your siblings, your clients, your colleagues, your friends? What is it? Because there are going to be places in there where you are less able to be resilient in the face of a challenge. And if that's the case, what are you presupposing to be the consequences of a confrontation with that person? What do you think is going to happen to you? There are many women that I've worked with who have not been willing to be confrontational with a spouse around a boundary because they have a history of male violence in their family systems. Watching their father whack their mother around, having a sibling potentially whack their mother around, being whacked around by a sibling, but the evidence of male violence, even though it may not exist in that given relationship. But the threat of it hangs over like the sword of Damocles. Don't go there because you don't know what you're going to trigger, even if it's never happened before in that relationship. So your most powerful boundary will come from you simply being your authentic self. Be yourself and tell the truth. You don't need to strategize. You don't need to negotiate. In that situation, you begin to recognize that surrendering a boundary is actually surrendering a layer of expression of your authentic self. You're pulling yourself back. You're not being yourself. You're being an acceptable version of yourself. And the final question that popped to my mind is, what is the cost of holding to a boundary? And what's the cost of surrendering to it? You know, because as Teneo Sanz Kumawai says, in life, you know, for everything you must pay attention. So what happens when you volunteer to collapse a boundary to make somebody else happy? You know, at low levels of thinking, a boundary around, you know, let's go for Italian tonight. I really like Italian. Oh, you know, I'd like Chinese. Okay. It's a low level thinking of you have a boundary that says, when I go out for dinner, I really like Italian food. And this particular experience is, you don't care. Where else do you have boundaries like that? Where you have a personal preference and you set a boundary around that preference, but your boundary is very flexible, very fluid with some people. Maybe it wouldn't be so flexible with others. But what about if it's way up at that BVA level and somebody wants you to lie so they can have what they want? How fluid is that boundary you have of not being willing to lie? So those were my thoughts on boundaries. And I don't hold a boundary as a real thing. I hold a boundary as a reflection of an authentic moment in the time that I'm in. And yet over time, there is such consistency in that people have come to know me a certain way. So there are certain things, I mean, I'm willing to talk about anything. And there are certain things that I think it's pretty clear to people that if I am in a conversation and something comes to mind and it may be an irritant to you, I say it anyway. Because my commitment is not to your comfort. It's not to my comfort. My commitment is to something else. And it's really reliable I'm going to do that. So if you don't want that, then talk to somebody else. Right? Lots of people to talk to. But that's a boundary for me that is tied to capital S self. That's why I'm here on this planet in this form. So for me to not do that is not possible for me. So where are your expressions of capital S self that live as boundaries for you in your physical reality? And what's the impact of that on the people around you? People don't spend time with me because I'm sweet. But I can be relied upon to be authentic. I can be relied upon to share with you what I hear when you speak that you're not saying. And potentially that can make a difference in the quality of your life. I'm willing to do that. even if you get mad at me. Where are your edges like that? Where are the boundaries in your life that are a reflection way up above the choice point that are tied to your signal? What are you here for? That's why your signal is so important. And in order for you to get to your signal, my belief about it is you have to have the big reaming out of engaging, because there's so much static in the body that interferes with your being able to hear that signal in a way that isn't all garbled and staticky and you're getting every third word, you know?